B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How we doing?
Real good.
Great. Hey, B-Rob on the Celtics call tonight. Did I hear that right?
What?
B-Rob.
Is Wallach on also?
Wallach and B-Rob.
Wow. Wait, but why did I feel like there was a third person mentioned there? It's Wallach and B-Rob. All right.
B-Rob kind of looks like two people.
I don't know what that means.
Not sure I get that.
Is it a joke as to how thin he is, that he really looks like half
a
person?
So it's okay when you do it.
Well, when I do it, it's comical. When you do it, it's puzzling.
And mean.
Yeah. T-Bone's got a Christmas Vineyard Vines on. Yeah, yes you do.
White.
You gonna snuggle up by the fire later?
I don't mean it's red and green, jackass. I mean you got it for Christmas. Did you not?
I did.
Yeah, I nailed it.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
All right, Zoe is out today. He's got an off day here. Hopefully he's back tomorrow. We're going on without him. Beetle and Hardy, and we'll have Bert Breer with us starting at 11. Big news today is Nick Caserio is gone. Nick Caserio has left the New England Patriots. And I understand that he's an executive and he's not exactly the face of the Patriots franchise. And you're far more familiar as a fan with Bill Belichick than you are Nick Caserio or any other name we may mention today. But I think most Patriots fans are smart enough to understand that Nick Caserio had a rather significant job on the football side of the operation with the Patriots.
Yep.
We've talked about this guy before. We've talked about him and the possibility of going to the Houston Texans where he is going. We talked about it in February in what has apparently been forgotten about in the last, I don't know, how many hours has it been? 15 hours or so since we got this news last night?
Mm-hmm.
He signed a contract extension back in February that was widely reported by Bert Breer, by Ben Volen at the Globe, by a lot of different places. His contract was set to expire after the draft back in the spring. And now he's gone. He's out. One of the few people that has been in New England for nearly two decades and has been a part of every single Patriots championship and had involvement with the team during the entire course of Bill Belichick's tenure outside of the year 2000. He's been here for a very long time. He was, in a lot of senses, Bill Belichick's right-hand man when it came to football stuff. Maybe not coaching on Sundays, although he was even on the headset on Sundays. He was so involved that you would see Nick Caserio on the field throwing a football during warm-ups every single game. I mean, he's very intricately and very tied to everything going on there.
Well, he was a wide receivers coach for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Well, I mean, that's
his future was
why he's down there on the field chucking the old pigskin.
Well, he also played at John Carroll with Josh McDaniels in college. They played together in college. So he's gone. He left. And back in February, Ben Volen reported on this and said that Nick Caserio wanted to see it through. You know, and sort of after flirting with the Texans and not being able to move and not being able to go to Houston to run the Texans because he was under contract and the Patriots would not give permission. Well, now, less than a year later, He's out the door. So what changed? What changed? Or was that just bullcrap back then? That he didn't want to move at that time. The job wasn't openly available at that time because Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby had sort of taken over, and he saw that opportunity close. And so therefore he just said, screw it, I'll stay. And now the opportunity was open again, and he's gone. He's out the door, and see you later. And now the Patriots are left without the guy who was, you know, running quite a few things along with Bill Belichick.
Well, as with a lot of things, Beadle, I think it's going to be like multi-tiered. Number one, the Easterby part of this, I think can't be understated. Like, the amount that he may have to do with that team before may have been enough to make Caserio not want to pursue it anyway. And the fact that it appears now that he's being reined in a little bit or is not going to be as involved has to make that job more attractive for Caserio or anyone else. But specifically for Caserio, who has dealt with Easterby before and maybe knows that that wouldn't have been the best situation. But I think there's also an element to, all right, really needed Nick Caserio here before when the Patriots were still in the thick of this. Now, is it necessary that we go to the lengths that it's going to take to keep him here? Or maybe now it doesn't matter as much. Maybe now it's okay that Caserio's not here because of, well, look at the state the team is in. Is it going to be detrimental to not have Nick Caserio here for the Patriots' next Super Bowl run in the 2021 season? Or do the Patriots look at it and say, well, Nick Caserio is obviously a huge part of this team and has been for 20 years now, but it's not going anywhere soon, so go ahead, Nick. Yeah, take that. You go ahead and take that GM job. It's obviously in your contract, and you can do it now, and we're not going to put up much of a fight because, oh, what are we going to keep you here for? I mean, those are just two of the elements involved in this, Beadle, but there's got to be a certain amount of that. If he was instrumental in the next championship coming to the New England Patriots, is there any way that they would allow him to leave or not make him another offer?
Well, maybe they didn't have a choice.
They could make him GM.
They could make him
GM here.
Do you think that would have happened? Do you think Bill Belichick said, you know what? You become GM and you make the calls. You call the shots.
He was important enough to the team to keep him here for the last 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of different contracts, different job titles, the next obvious step here is to give him another job title or give him more money or something. He just signed a deal. So I don't know what they could possibly get out of that other than the title.
But the problem is, to give him that title here, they would have to demote Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick would have to demote himself. It's about calling the final shot. It's about making the final call. Then when you go to draft day, who's the last guy? Who's the last one to make the decision and say yes or no when you run it up the ladder, right? It goes to Bill Belichick. It was never going to go to Nick Caserio here, which is why I can understand why he'd want more opportunity to go elsewhere and leave.
Okay.
Like, I totally understand his desire to leave and go somewhere else and continue to grow and have more power and have, I assume, more money. It's probably very lucrative to go from being the guy just under Bill Belichick to being the guy running the football side of things for another team.
So what does it signal to you?
It signals to me that, you know, I don't know that it's anything scandalous, but it hurts. The Patriots are about to go through a once-in-a-two-decade rebuild. They're in it right now. And after a few years of losing, we'll call them lieutenants in the scouting department and in the front office, guys that have been leaving, he's now gone too, and he was the top guy. And just for, like, organizationally, that's a big gap now to fill between now and the draft in the spring. And everything that has to just, even from like just a day-to-day standpoint, you've got to rework that. You've now got to put time and energy and work into finding who it is that's going to fulfill some of the jobs that he was doing on a day-to-day basis there. Like, that all changes now. And they've got to worry about this in addition to worrying about the fact that they look like a really bad football team at times this season. So now you've got a front office problem to fix and a football team to fix. But I do go back to that story and the report in February. Volan wrote, here's a story from February. Retaining Caserio brings important continuity to the Patriots, who have suffered several coaching and personnel losses the last few years. And he names them all, Matt Patricia, Flores, several assistants, plus current NFL GMs Bob Quinn and John Robinson and several scouts on the personnel side. I would say last year, Monty Ossenfort was named as a potential replacement for Caserio. He left last offseason. So they lost the guy who was rumored at the time to potentially take over. It says, but the Patriots have been able to keep the main pieces in place. Belichick, McDaniels, and Caserio, who is a de facto general manager. Except he doesn't get to make the last call. He doesn't get to make the last call. And at the time, Ben Volen wrote that Caserio wanted to stick around and see things through. You know, that he had some sort of change of heart and wanted to be here. Maybe that was all bullcrap. Maybe that was just a lie. Maybe it was he didn't have a job somewhere else and he wanted to continue working and didn't want to just go into not working and taking a break. He wanted to continue working and therefore he stuck around. But maybe the language of that deal said, if someone else offers me a GM interview, I get to do it. You don't get to block me. There's no asking for permission. I get to leave this time. Maybe that's what it was. We'll try and get more on that maybe from Bert when he joins us at 11. But I think it's damaging. And here's a line in that story going back to when this extension was signed. Caserio's return doesn't necessarily mean Tom Brady will be back with the Patriots. Per source, Caserio could help build one last run around Brady or help the team transition to the next era at quarterback. And you know what happened? He didn't do either.
Well, the first one he was never allowed to do. And
none of it worked. None of it happened.
Right.
It's a big loss.
It's
hard because it's not a player. It's not a coach. It's hard to see it. You just got to sort of believe it.
For me, the thing with Bill as GM and as to whether or not he's listening to anyone, I think some of this familiarity that's been built and bred around the Patriots, Nick Caserio there for 20 years, Ernie Adams, you know, all the guys, all the advisors, all the people who've been close to him, Josh McDaniels to a certain extent. Some of this familiarity breeds, if not contempt, at least a little bit of tuning out. And I wonder if, ironically, a new voice, someone who either hasn't been here before or hasn't been here in a while, comes in and maybe doesn't have any more power, but maybe gets to Bill a little bit more than Caserio has been able to in the last 8-10 years. Because, you know, that's one notion that's out there, that Casario's been there, but some of the ideas, some of the personnel moves he wanted to make, they weren't done because Bill had ultimate say. Bill's like, yeah, I know what Nick wants. I've known what Nick has wanted for 20 years here. You get a different voice in here, even if it's a voice that was here before, maybe some time ago. You get that voice in here, and Bill's a little more willing to listen because it's not the same old same.
I think the problem's going to get worse, not better. I disagree with you on this. We'll talk more about that. But also, they've lost a lot of guys that work for the team, coaches, personnel guys, that have had a big hand in what's gone on for the last 10 or 20 years. It's starting to feel like, as Tommy Curran once wrote, the party's over. It's starting to have a little bit of that feel. We'll talk about that, too, in your call, 617-779-0985, the phone number.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Let's call it a night. The party's over. And tomorrow starts.
It's got a little bit of that feel. Party's over.
I was just thinking about this morning, Beetle.
Taking off.
The next celebrity that dies that's really going to bum me out, it's going to be Willie Nelson. I'll call it right now. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to die soon.
Okay,
but
you are, though.
And hopefully it's 10 years from now. You know, but he's old. He's in his 80s.
Turn out the lights.
But that'll be the next one that really bums me out. The guys have been, I've been listening to him since I was a kid. Willie Nelson, The Family, had the double record.
Yeah.
Put it on the vinyl back in the 70s for crying out loud.
You know what's going to happen now, T-Bone. You know what's going to happen. I can't believe you just did that to him.
He's as good as gone.
He's 87 years old.
Well,
so if it happens today, it's still not my fault.
Really?
Okay,
if he dies on the day that you say, I don't want him to die, and there's no indication that he is going to die at this particular moment in time, it's on you.
It'd be a little bit on me if it were today. Or I'll even give you a week. But if it happens more than a week from now, it's not my fault.
Keep going strong, Willie. Party over? Is the party over here? Is that happening? They have the manpower to put together another great team here. They don't have a quarterback. They accomplished nothing on that front. They don't have much direction at the moment. They're going to need everything they've got upstairs in order to push back against the head coach, who is also the GM, who has been accused over the years of not listening to the people in the room. Of doing whatever it is he wants to do, which is his right. It's his job. It's his call. We blame him ultimately. We give him all the credit. We give him all the blame. But he's taken blame on picks like N'Keal Harry. Because why? Because he was friends with the college coach and the guy had one good workout? When other people in the room are saying, nah, you don't want N'Keal Harry. You want maybe this guy Deebo Samuel. Or you want this guy A.J. Brown. You don't want N'Keal Harry. And he says, no, I want N'Keal Harry. Give me N'Keal Harry. And then it doesn't work out. And then there are people that are left pissed off because they, I mean, we're just pissed watching N'Keal Harry not perform. Imagine being the guy who knew, who put the work in, who knew and logged those hours on the road, you know, staying in the Hampton Inn in Tuscaloosa or wherever the hell they were. Like, no, I went and scouted all these guys. I went to the Senior Bowl down in, what's it, Mobile? I went down to Mobile. And stayed in the motel and knew that I knew this guy couldn't play. And Bill, you still told me no. Hardy, you think someone who hasn't been in the room might get more run and more like a Bill Belichick who's willing to listen and is all ears? I think this is damaging because Caserio's been there so long and the guys who have been there the longest can at least say what they want to say without fear of getting kicked out the door. A new guy comes in, they're probably terrified. Terrified to say it, and then if they do say it, they're going to get ignored and written off as the new guy.
How did Bill treat his new quarterback this year, Beetle? Did he treat him like the old quarterback, or was Cam Newton given carte blanche to go out there and play poorly and not only get every single start, but get the backing of the coach throughout the entire year? That's your biggest change right there, personnel-wise.
Was it self-serving?
A coach or a player? I don't know what it was, but who's to say that type of attitude or mentality won't carry over to the next director of player personnel?
Well, then I would say, is Bill getting soft? Is he getting soft in his old age, and is he changing? Because then that's another concern I have.
Well, you can be concerned for any number of reasons. I'm choosing to look on the bright side of this and saying, all right, yeah, there's a change here. The greatest quarterback to ever play the game has left, and he ain't coming back, despite what somebody said yesterday who said, wow, how about Brady and Gronk come back for one more year? No, just stop thinking about that. It's not happening. It's not coming back. So instead, you have to now move on and put together a football team and that is a huge change for Bill Belichick. So, now, was it self-serving? Was there something else going on, more clandestine with the way he treated Cam Newton this year, or something that, you know, super secret that we just don't understand what was going on there? I choose to think that Bill has, you say, softened. I say just changed his approach a little bit, at least when it came to the quarterback position and the way he's going to have to treat things in general, moving on. Not having at his disposal the greatest to ever play the game at the most important position on the field.
Oh, so, yeah, that's the biggest problem. I'm not denying that.
So he changes a little bit in terms of how he approaches players, how he approaches coaching, and yes, maybe how he approaches some of the guys who are on his staff. In this case, it could be the next director of player personnel to replace Caserio. That guy does have a little more voice than he had in the past. You got to do something. Uh-huh. You have to
one
do
issue
something
there,
differently.
Though. One issue there, though. And I'm just sounding the alarm. I don't have solutions today. I don't. Nick Caserio is the fifth member of the Patriots scouting department that has left the team within the last 3 years. And now, with another team, is the director of player personnel or higher in terms of being a full-blown GM. Five guys in 3 years have left the Patriots.
It's a lot.
To go run things elsewhere.
It's a lot.
That doesn't even count the other guys that I named in the Volan piece, like John Robinson or David Quinn. Dave Quinn, Lions, your guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, not there anymore.
Well, didn't work out.
Bob Quinn. Why am I saying Dave Quinn?
I don't know.
Bob Quinn. I know a Dave Quinn.
It didn't
That's
work.
Why.
It didn't work.
I have a friend
out.
Named Dave Quinn. Hi, Dave. Bob Quinn. And that doesn't even count it. It's DeJuan Daniels. It's Monty Ossenford. It's Pat Stewart. It's Nick Caserio. There's five of those guys. To which I say, you know, I don't know any of these people in terms of how involved they are, but if they were good enough to go and run teams elsewhere, something tells me they had a significant role. And it's a role that we as fans on the outside don't see. But there's been a brain drain there. There are guys leaving left and right. Maybe they just had enough. Or maybe they just see the writing on the wall and say, well, you just said, oh, they lost it. We lost a quarterback. Oh, we lost a quarterback. We haven't drafted all that well because Bill just keeps telling us who to take. I'm going to go elsewhere. And by the way, how do you think all these stories have now started to resurface about Bill not listening? Which is, by the way, it's not new. It goes back as far as Tavon Wilson and Jermaine Cunningham, who we mentioned yesterday. It's not a new thing. But why do we think that N'Keal Harry story has been so prominent in recent weeks as Nick Caserio goes to get a new job? Or anybody else in the department has gone for a new job?
Because things are changing.
We didn't take him.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't our guy.
Yeah.
You know what else I sort of wondered? Thinking out loud now? Why did Florio all of a sudden drop what Bill Belichick makes this week? Where'd that come from?
Well, he was forced into it because people were talking about another coach coming out and wanting Bill Belichick type of money right away. And Florio just said, oh, no, you know, Bill makes more than that.
And he was just sitting on that for what, months, years? How long was he sitting on that since
Maybe.
The last published report, which put Bill a couple of years ago at about $12.5 million, I think 12.5?
Maybe he didn't know that people were suffering under the impression that Belichick only made $12.5 million a year.
Oh.
Maybe that just slid under his desk. He didn't know about that.
Think there was anyone who may have dropped that on Florio's desk as an FU to Bill on the way out the door?
Oh.
Yep, he's got all the power and he's got all the money, too. He takes up the full coaching salary pool here in Patriot Place.
Now, listen, you can say that the party is over, Beetle, but you can also look, Nick Caserio's 45 years old. Prime earning years, your 40s, right?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's when you got it. If you haven't made your move by then, you know.
Can't wait for mine.
Forget it, right?
Gearing up for it.
Mine are going to be over here in a few more months, and I blew it. I've missed the entire decade. Does not speak well for anything for me long term. But for Caserio, he's got to take this job now. He has to.
Oh, absolutely.
It. Okay.
And it's not, by the way, there's obviously some challenges that we discussed yesterday with Houston. There's challenges there. They
oh,
don't
sure.
have picks. They, you know, they've got money problems. They got all kinds of stuff that's going on there.
You know, Josh McDaniels, almost the exact same age, you know? He's 44 years old, so if he leaves and he takes the Chargers job, you know, yes, we can look at it and say the party's over, but more likely, it's a combination of a bunch of factors, and two of the biggest factors for both Caserio and McDaniels are they got to make their move. McDaniels had his shot earlier. It didn't go well. He, you know, limped home to a certain extent to take over as OC again for the Patriots. But now, if you've got a shot to do it again, this is when you do it. Head coaches in the NFL are not getting older. They have a tendency to get younger. And guys are getting hired younger and younger at top positions, both head coaching and GM. So for these guys, they got to do it. Timing-wise, it happens to work out pretty well for both of them. Although, You could argue against that, too. I don't know. Does McDaniels do himself any favors by going through what they just went through here and having to present that on your resume as your most recent body of work? Same thing for Caserio. Who knows what they're going to say in their interviews? I didn't want to do this, 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 and this. You know who was making me do all that stuff. Let me do it my way here. It'll be better. But they have to. Just by virtue of how old they are and how long they've already been in this business, they have to leave, whether the party's over or not.
617-779-0985. It's your calls. Why don't we get to them next? Hardy, we'll have headlines for you right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The other part of all this before we get to your phones... The pressure has never been really higher on Bill Belichick. And the focus has never been more squarely on him to fix it all. It's up to him. It's up to him to fix whatever coaching issues there are, whatever front office issues there are, and whatever issues there are on the roster. It's on him. He's in charge. He's got a tall task in front of him. Fix all of it, Bill. All of it. It's all on you. You've got to fix all of it. And how did Florio find out that he makes that kind of money? How did Florio? Maybe it's someone above him saying, hey, yeah, well, hey, buddy, you get paid this money for a reason. That's all fine and good when you have Tom Brady and things are going well. Now it's time to fix things. 617-779-0985. Steve is in Rentham today. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to say to Mr. Hardy that Willie Nelson is not Jimmy Page. And
who said he was?
Just to take it back a little bit, I want to talk about the Houston thing.
Sure.
Can you imagine being a Houston fan and watching Bill O'Brien drive that thing into the ground, and then their cure is to hire another person from New England? You know, maybe he can do it. Maybe it's going to be fine. But as what is it, semantics? Semantics? It just doesn't look right.
Yeah. We didn't look right, all right.
Okay, I'm going to focus on this.
Doesn't sound right. Doesn't look right.
The social media reaction from Houston has not been positive for Nick Caserio's hiring.
Ooh.
Now, who knows what that means, right? But it doesn't look all that positive. And do you blame them?
No. We just had a Patriots guy in here. It didn't work.
And there's a long list of Patriots guys who go elsewhere and don't work.
Yep.
At least from a coaching perspective, but from a front office perspective, I think they have a better track record. I think front office guys have a slightly better track record than the coaching staffs do.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to compare them and decide what...
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's not as disastrous as the coaches have been.
Not disastrous, but it's middling at best.
I would disagree with that. I would say it's there's hits and there's misses, like anything. But how many great coaches have there been?
How many great coaches?
Zero. The answer is zero. There have been none. And so
Brian Flores is making a run.
Right, he might be. Yeah. How about the job that John Robinson has done with the Titans? They look like a good team.
Yeah.
He's a Belichick guy. He's a front office guy that was here.
Okay.
How about, I know we're not going to bring up Detroit. We're not going to bring up Bob Quinney.
Did Deshaun Watson tweet out?
Some things never change.
What a gray area there.
That's
Deshaun Watson tweeted, something's never changed, dot, 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 dot. He added an extra period in there.
Who knows what he's talking about? Jim in Medway. Hey, Jim.
Yeah. Now we just got our answer for 2 games ago when Bill threw the red flag and he was wrong on the call. He went over the phone and the conversation went something like this because it was Caserio's call. Nick, you can take the job in Houston. And he threw the phone.
Is that Nick's call or is that Ernie Adams?
I think it might have been Nick. Oh. And the other thing is, Bertrand, you can't be on the radio feeling sorry for anybody in the personnel department moving on when all you do is complain about their draft picks. And whether Bill's got the bottom decision or not, he's part of the personnel department. You're a hypocrite for complaining that he's leaving.
Yeah, you're a hypocrite.
No, I'm not. In fact, I've been entirely clear. Bill overrules the guys under him, and I fully explained this today. I'm not a hypocrite. Put together a better argument next time. Like, seriously, we went over this hour. He works under Bill, right? Along with a bunch of other guys. Bill overrules them and takes N'Keal Harry when that staff is telling him, don't take N'Keal Harry. It could be part of the reason why the guy left. And now when his voice, which is already arguably not being listened to, is replaced with a new guy, I think that problem only gets worse. I think if Nick Caserio and his staff and all the people in the front office are getting overruled, one or two out of every 5 picks, okay? So if 20% of the time they're getting overruled, what's that percentage now with a new guy?
And that's where
it 100% of the time?
Or it could swing the other way. As I said before, these guys have all been together for too long. It's the same dynamic we talked about between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. You get 3 alphas together, and they're all and they're enjoying unprecedented success. And even then, there is going to be tension. Is it a healthy tension? Or is it something that finally reached its breaking point? Well, it turned out to be the latter. There was healthy tension for years, and then finally it just didn't work anymore, and Brady left. But you get a different voice in there. It doesn't have to be somebody brand new, but just someone that Bill has not had the same conversations with week in and week out, year after year after year, going back to 2001.
It would be hypocritical if anyone ever had been critical of Nick Caserio.
Yes.
If anyone ever complained about Nick Caserio, I've never done that. I don't know anybody who has said, you know what? These draft picks suck. That Nick Caserio stinks. Because if you had said that, then today you'd be happy. So that's my point. I give the blame to Bill Belichick on the draft picks.
Okay.
Where it belongs.
All right. Maybe not hypocritical, but how can you feel bad about it? If you feel nothing's going to change.
Because I think it could get worse. Because we may not be at rock bottom yet.
But that also means that Belichick's wrong on every single draft selection that he wants to make.
Right, yeah, I'm not assuming that either, for sure, because there could have been times where he overruled guys, and he's right, and we're not going to hear about it. That's absolutely possible.
I don't know. You sound an awful lot like an exposed hypocrite right now.
Don't you start. There's only 2 of us in here today.
Yeah, but we're separated by glass. I feel safe.
Jake is in Boston. Hey, Jake.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes, Jake, yes.
The fall of Rome, the fall of Berlin, the fall of the Patriots dynasty. Listen, one of the reasons why I'm still livid about the boogeyman fiasco and the Christmas party last year before the Miami game was it was all hanging by a thread. And now you're seeing that. And here you were. And so many people took it for granted, too, like the 2 to 6 p.m. show, the owner, the coach. Here you were at 8-0 last season, and instead of playing the disrespect card, you go and make T-shirts. Was that Bill Belichick's Mikhail Gorbachev perestroika moment before the fall of the Soviet Union, letting people get a few little crumbs before they tore the entire system of oppression apart? The question is, guys, who is Bill Ava Braun in the bunker right now? Is that Linda? Is that Steve? Or are we going to wait until Amanda Belichick becomes the new kid, Nick Caserio, because she's done some lacrosse recruiting for Holy Cross, because there's no one on the planet I see filling Caserio's role except for the last piece of the nepotism puzzle, and I'm dead serious. And finally, do you think if Tom Brady were still here, would and Bill had been overruled by Robert again, that Nick Caserio and then Josh McDaniels, because he's going to follow, are going to walk out the door and you'd have this brain drain. Of course you wouldn't. You'd be still taking that last shot. The whole thing was coming apart at once, and Bob Kraft was an idiot to assume otherwise and give one party, Bill Belichick, the keys instead of letting both go out together.
Is there room for a Peloton in that bunker?
I don't know. I hope so. Publish the times.
Wow.
Wow, what do you do with that?
Nothing. Nothing. You go to break.
Why is the Amanda Belichick a thing today? Why is that? I saw tweets on that.
I saw it too. I don't know. I don't know. I have one bit of real estate information regarding the Nick Caserio story.
He's got a house up for sale?
No. You want it now or you want it in a minute?
No, give it to me in a minute.
Okay.
That, and guess what? A very prominent NFL reporter, maybe the most prominent and well-known NFL reporter. He agrees with Hardy. He agrees with Hardy on something. We'll explain that.
Oh, not this.
Coming up next.
No, don't do this to me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is why you do the show. You take chances. You give takes. Sometimes they blow up in your face. You look like a complete idiot. We've all been there.
The pie in your face.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Patriots quarterback Cam Newton sounded resigned this week to the fact that he'll be moving on from New England. It looks like he's looking for something different. The Patriots are looking for something different. Both sides enjoyed their relationship, but both sides expect that it will take them to a different place and a different direction in 2021, with Cam Newton likely moving on and the Patriots in search of a new quarterback for next season. We'll see what direction they decide to go ultimately.
Okay, got a hot real estate tip. What do you got, Hardy? What are your ground sources telling you?
Ground sources in Dedham reached out to me a little while ago and said, this could be a common thing. But is it weird to sign a new contract and move two towns over to a brand new $2 million house only to move 8 months later? And included the listing of, presumably, Nick Caserio's home that he just moved into. Bought it last April. This guy heard this from a tax officer. Beautiful house. I can't blame him for wanting the house. Sold, listed at $1.825 million.
Nice.
Nice house, right? Great builder. Fantastic. Why would you buy in April? Move in. This doesn't seem like something that just happens spur of the moment. This is a team that he wanted to go to before, had a chance to go to a couple of years ago, didn't go now after all the dust settles from the tampering charges and all this. A year and a half later, now you go after you moved two towns over, you moved into a new house, and you spent $2 million on, now you're going to pick up and leave? It is a little odd.
That's a little strange.
It leads me to believe that this was not as inevitable as we were thinking about this, Beetle.
He signed the extension back in February. And in signing an extension, a multi-year deal, he buys a new house.
A brand new house, which is, if you're going to move and you want to move a couple of towns over, you don't buy, and you're going to be short-term. If you're going to be short-term, do you buy brand new?
No.
No. It's like a new car, right?
Right.
It's going to depreciate. Now, this is probably not going to depreciate, but it's like, we don't need a brand new house. We don't need to pay new home pricing for a place we're only going to be in for another year or two. So I believe that Nick Caserio thought maybe he was going to be here for a good long while.
Let me read you from the Volan story again.
Read to me from the Volan story
again. Casario was listening to offers this offseason, and this was written last offseason. The Patriots badly wanted to keep him, and Casario decided that he wants to keep building on what he has helped to create over 20 years in New England. Multi-year deal, decided he wants to stay, decided he wants to keep building, buys a new home for almost $2 million.
That's right.
And then 10 months later, he's gone?
That's right.
What happened? Now that could be a juicy story in there somewhere, Hardy. What the hell happened there?
Do you move two towns over into a 5,000 square foot, 3.5 bath at 1.17 acres?
No.
If you're going to leave in 8 months?
No.
Nope.
Typically not. But
brand new?
It's not like he won't be able to sell it. He'll be able to sell the home.
Oh, sure.
And he'll be making more money in Houston to offset any losses he takes on that home?
I don't know that he's going to take any losses. A lot of built-ins with this builder.
Yeah, you know, you're familiar with the builder, I hear.
I am.
Interesting.
That he's not my source.
He's
not my
source. You just happened to look at one of his houses.
Yeah, I couldn't afford that.
Yeah, but it was nice to look at. Always nice to look.
Well, I'll take a look. Sure. Will you take this much for it? Now, why are you pushing me out the door? Don't
make your life change, puppy. We're going to move boxes. And
okay, then.
Oh, they've got our real estate sign up there. We got to do that.
Well, we've got a lot of good real estate sources.
We have good sources.
We're very popular in that community.
Oh, my God.
They have, like, a convention we can go to? Maybe introduce ourselves to people in the field?
There's a lot of mixers. There's a lot of gatherings of real estate
people. I feel like there's a lot of drinking in that. Not that there's not a lot of drinking in a lot of jobs, but that one in particular.
Yeah, so we've got that covered with Zoe. You can handle all the drinking that needs to be done. You'll have a couple of cocktails, but you're not going to go overboard.
No, I'm not going to go all Zoe on them.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah. No, let's do that.
But if drinking needs to be done throughout the course of business, we can do that.
Yeah. Okay, here's something that I wanted to tell you. Adam Schefter, who is like the guy, the reporter in the NFL.
Smart guy.
Sorry, Bert. We're having Bert on in a couple of minutes, but Bert will be with us too. He said today, apparently.
Yes.
T-Bone, I didn't hear this. You heard it. You looked it up. You heard about it. He said today in an interview with a radio station that shall not be named. Other side of town. He said that Cam Newton could get 2 years and $50 million this offseason in the NFL, in the National Football League. $50 million American money. And when T-Bone told me that he said that, I said, well, he agrees with Hardy.
That's right.
Hardy had that taken, I think, September, but had abandoned it by like October. Schefter is saying it in January.
Which is unbelievable.
What? No. Who's going to give him that? I have a hard time believing he even said it. Like, did you get hosed by a bad Schefter tweet the way his own network did the other day? Like, there's no possible way he means that.
I'm going to guess 2 years with incentives, $40 to $50 million.
With who?
Washington or New England.
Ah! They might give him the Hardy deal. I'll tell you what. If Willie Nelson dies this week, it's on Hardy. And if Cam Newton's back at $40 to $50 million in New England, that's on Hardy, too. You get blamed for both of those.
A contract that... Now, this is not my deal, okay? Now, this is not my deal when we're talking about in September, right? Because he was already playing for an incentive-laden deal here in New England.
Gross.
Apparently, Schefter said something along the lines of a contract packed with incentives that would be worth between $40 and $50 million for 2 years would be something within the realm of not only possibility, but probability. A lot of incentives to get him between $20 and $25 million a year.
What's the base salary in that scenario? Like 10 or 15?
It's got to be 15. You can't incentivize everything.
Right, you can't say the whole deal is an incentive. If you play and you play the way you did this year, you get like the same salary, like $1 million. But we also packed in $24 million in incentives for you.
I mean, I like to stick to my guns on certain things, but even I was willing to drop the price considerably throughout the season.
Holy crap.
Right now, How could you? And I get it. And Bert was the first to tell us. And we can ask Bert about this again. He's going to join us here in just another minute. But, you know, the idea of getting a good quarterback that plays and starts for your team for $15, $18 million a year isn't really a thing. That's like backup money. So to get a guy that you only want to pay 15 to 18 to be a, you know, an average good starting quarterback. No, they make more than that. I don't know that Cam's one of the... No, let me rephrase that. Cam's not one of those guys. Cam is no longer the guy you think of who can be a average to slightly better than average starting quarterback for your team. No, he's not. Did you watch this season? He's a dynamic presence still in the locker room, and he brings a lot to the team leadership wise, and he can run the ball, but he can't throw the ball in the today's NFL. He can't. I don't know when he would be able to be a passing quarterback in this league, but certainly not now. Who's going to pay him that kind of money, even with the incentives, be the starting quarterback for their team? Who? And don't tell me here. Maybe Bert will tell us.
Bert Breer will join us after headlines in just 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.